Good morning. We have a large crowd here again. Let's try again. Good morning. Excellent, excellent. So glad to see everyone here. Very excited for our time together to worship. And we have a few announcements before we begin our worship service. Make sure we're all on the same page. First of all, if you're visiting with us, or maybe you have visited before and have never filled out a guest card, we would love for you to fill one out. They're located in the pew right in front of you. And if you could fill one of the visitor cards out and place it in the offering plate, we would love to have a record of you being here this morning. A couple announcements. The Golden Fellowship, first of all, we'll be making a day trip to New Bern to tour the Tryon Palace and other historical places Friday, May 3rd. And the sign-up sheet is in the atrium. Also, May 5th at 5:30, while FSYC prepares for their spring program that evening, we will have a parent meeting for our youth summer mission trip, which will be July 13th through the 20th. There's also going to be some opportunities for us as a church to be involved in that mission trip because it's through the North Carolina Baptist Men, so there's going to be some chances for us here at home to help with the efforts as we prepare to partner with them. And also, please continue to pray for Mandy Moss as she is now, I believe, heading. Is she on the way still? In the middle right now?
She's in Miami.
In Miami right now? Perfect. So please be in prayer for the traveling that's still taking place and the whole week that is ahead for that team. Are there any other announcements that we have this morning? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, thank you so much for bringing us together. God, we never get tired of thanking you, and we certainly never get tired of gathering together to worship you. Guide us this morning. Show us excitement. Show us humility. Show us how to make sure that your presence transforms us to follow your Son more closely. Prepare our hearts and our minds to be transformed in such a way where we can carry the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, to everyone around us this upcoming week. In your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts for worship for a few moments.
Sorrow to be his only bride. Now, page 340, He Hideth My Soul. Let's all stand, do all four verses.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand, and covers me there with His hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength by soul in the cleft of a rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand, and covers me there with His hand. With numberless blessings each moment and filled with His fullness divine, I sing in my rapture all glory to God for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul on a cliff of a rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand, and covers me there with His hand. When clothed in His brightness, transported I rise to meet Him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation is wonderful. I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths depths of his love and God.
Good morning. Good morning. So great to see all of you here this morning. Always great to see such a good group down here for our children's sermon. I'm very excited to talk to you all a little bit about some things that go together. This morning we're sort of play a game. Do you like to play games? Yeah? We're going to sort of play a game this morning. It's an easy one. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say something, and you're going to tell me what goes with that something. Like if I was to say up, you would say down. Things that go together. That was an easy one, right? So let me give you another one, and let's see if you can get it. What if I was to say peanut butter?
Jelly.
Good. That's good. That goes right. Perfect. Most go together. What about on?
Off.
Good. Very good. What about salt?
Pepper.
Most people put that together, right? Mm-hmm. Now, guys, you might get this one quicker than the girls. What about Batman?
Robin.
Girls got it. Good. Good. All right. Back to a food one. Last one. What about mustard?
Ketchup.
Good. Good. See, y'all got it. See, most times we can think of things that go together with other things really quick. And so this morning, I want us to remember that as Christians, our actions have to go together with our words. And that's what we're going to learn about in James chapter 2, verse 18. Listen to what that says. It says, "But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." And what that's talking about, we need to make sure as Christians that we are showing other people that we love God and love Jesus by our actions. They go together. You know, it's really great and special for us to come together on Sunday mornings and other times at church and sing praise songs to God, pray to Him, tell Him that we love Him. That's wonderful. But we need to make sure that our actions outside of church go together with that, and they show everybody else that what we're doing in church matches up with what we're doing outside of church. Okay? So let's pray about that this morning, all right? God, thank you so much for showing us how to love you inside of church and outside of church, making sure that we understand what it means to have our actions and our words go together. God, teach us how to do that. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Great to see y'all. See y'all next week, okay?
Guys, y'all are doing real good at getting down here just
right.
That's fantastic. The only thing on that children's sermon, when I think of peanut butter, I think of bananas. I don't know. I might be the only one that does that. But very good. Very good. Let me invite you to open your bulletin at our prayer concerns. There are many on our prayer list. You'll see all those names in bowls or names that we have added. We do want to be remembering all of those that we have on this list. And isn't it good to know that whether we mention them here in this sanctuary or not, when we lift them to the throne room of God, that He hears. Last week we read about the saints with those golden bowls pouring out the prayers of the believers. God is concerned about all our prayers. Let me just invite you to take a good look at this list. Make it a divine assignment this week to keep these ever lifted up in our time of prayer. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful to come together to worship you. And as Matt has reminded us, may our actions all this week mirror what we do today in worship. May the commitments that we make today, may the decisions that we choose today, may the praise that comes from our life today be mirrored in our living. Now, Lord, we lift these names before you. And there may be other names that aren't on this list that are on our heart that we lift to you. We know you're the great physician, that you are the comforter, that you are the very present help in time of trouble. And so, God, we ask that you would bless each one who is here, those that are facing surgery, those that are recuperating from surgery, those who have lost loved ones. God, we lift them all to you now and ask that you might bless them in a special way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Tell me, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Tell me, where could I go but to the, where could I go but to the, where could I go but to the Lord, 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 to the
Newbern. Last time I was in Newbern, the youth rode bicycles from Suffolk, Virginia. Y'all are going to take the bicycles, I assume. Okay, well, I'll leave mine in the garage then. In fact, Brad, the first time we did it, we went from New Bern to Suffolk, Virginia. Brad, remember that? He's not here yet. Okay. Song is page 516. It has a different name, and I gave, no doubt gave the wrong name to the secretary. And but we will do 516, and then we'll turn into put your bulletin in at 195, and or 192. Y'all look up there and make sure I'm right. And we will do two verses of each, two verses of 516 and two of 192. Let's all stand.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saints of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder,
pray. Dear Lord, thank you for having us here another week to worship in your house. We pray that you keep all the people on the prayer list lifted up, all the families. We ask that you take this offering to further your kingdom and us to thy service. In thy holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, eternity. And our quartet now has a name, F-O-U-R, the Lord. Appreciate their special music reminding us of God's comfort. We're in the midst of a series from the book of Revelation. Let me invite you to turn to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. We looked last week at the worthiness of God to be worshipped. In chapter 5, we're going to look today at a continuation of that throne room scene and comfort that comes from heaven, that we can make some application to our own life and living. And then we're going to continue the comfort as we look at Revelation chapter 21 for the next two Sundays, the next coming two Sundays, as we will look at God continuing to promise us a new day is coming, a new heaven, and a new earth. Some have said that the purpose of Christ can be summed up that he came to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And I think that's pretty good. I think that's what God is doing. Well, today I'm going to be offering his comfort. I'll try to get to that affliction a little later on at another sermon. But today I want us to look at the comfort that God gives, that God promises us. We're going to begin to read in the ninth verse, and we're going to read through verse 17. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. Revelation chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and worship God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." May God add his blessing to the reading, to the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us for a moment or two this morning that we might understand that comfort comes only from you, that salvation belongs to you, that we can reach satisfaction and shelter only in your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever needed to be comforted? A hospital administrator who was new to his position was once startled when, walking down through the floors of his hospital, he saw a patient come running out of the operating room, his loose hospital gown flapping in the breeze behind him. He stopped the fleeing patient and he said, "Do you mind telling me why you were running away from the operating room?" The patient looked at him with a startled eye and he said, "It was because of what that nurse said." What did she say? The administrator asked. She said, "Be brave. You really can do this. I know you can. It's an apodeck to me, and it's really quite simple." "Well, that should have comforted you." "Comfort," he said. "She wasn't talking to me. She was talking to the doctor that was going to do the surgery." You ever needed to be comforted? You ever felt like somebody might not be able to do what you need them to do? You ever felt like you might not be able to do what you need done? Here in this great passage of Scripture, we have a look at those who in that great tribulation, that tribulation that shall accompany the end of time, will ultimately realize they're victorious. Do you know we're victorious? You know we've already won. You say, "Oh, it doesn't feel like I'm winning right now." But the truth is, all that have put their faith in the one who created this world have won. Today, we know that the one that we looked at last week, who is worthy of our worship, will also give us comfort. For you know, tribulation, whether it's the great tribulation of end time, or the tribulation of lost job, a bad diagnosis, a difficult family situation, heartache, pain, they are real. So today I want us to look at where we might find our source of heavenly comfort, of where God is giving us a word today that we might share part of that gospel message, that there is hope for those who desperately need it. I love verse 10. "And crying with a loud voice, all this multitude, all the saved people, cry out, salvation belongs to God." Heavenly comfort, salvation is available because God owns it. Salvation is not mine to give to you. I can't save anyone. I can lead you in a plan that will lead you to salvation, but salvation is granted by one, by God. God grants salvation, ultimate salvation, that being saved forever. The Lamb has settled that issue. Salvation is now available. Only God can give us that divine forgiveness. You know, sometimes people might argue they don't like a system of faith. They don't like a system of faith. But that's almost like saying, "I don't like that I have to breathe air to live." You might not like it, but let me encourage you. Take your next breath, okay? Keep breathing. It's the way God created you. It's the way God created you, and you may not like, some of us may not like the way our hair turned out, right? Some of us might not like the size or the complexion of our skin. We might have lots of things we don't like, but it's still God's plan. Let me tell you that His plan says that you and I all have a sin problem, and the ultimate comfort is that sin that would separate us from Him for all eternity has been dealt with by the Lamb. It's been conquered by the Lamb. It's been paid for by the Lamb. It's been overcome by the Lamb. And divine forgiveness, what you need today more than anything, is God's forgiveness. I'm going to make a pretty powerful statement. I want you to listen to it. And then I want you and the Holy Spirit to digest it. I want you and the Holy Spirit to ponder it for a moment or two. Today, probably every one of us here in this room, every one of us here in this room has something we need God's forgiveness for. There's something in our life that we haven't been forthcoming, probably not even with ourselves. We've just kind of denied it, ignored it. We've just kind of said, "Well, in the big scope of things, it's just a little thing and it doesn't really matter." But I want you to imagine what it would feel like in just a very few moments to walk out of this building knowing that the Holy Spirit has conferred upon each of our hearts and each of our lives God's divine forgiveness. to lead this place in His peace and in His power and in His presence. To know that that sin that right now is coming to our mind because the Holy Spirit, when we're willing, will bring it to our mind. And there it is. We see it. We know it. We understand it. Today there's divine forgiveness available for it. I read an interesting story done in 2003 by a researcher named Peter Larson. He interviewed 200 married couples, and I think there can be a good application to this beyond married couples, in regards to forgiveness. The researchers were wondering how the ability to forgive others would affect the marital satisfaction and the personal well-being. And so the results, they were pretty astounding. It suggests that there's a huge relationship between marriage satisfaction and forgiveness. A huge relationship between marriage satisfaction and forgiveness. In fact, it appears that as much as one-third of marriage satisfaction, one-third is related to forgiveness. Not only does the ability to forgive impact the marriage, it was significantly related to personal emotional distress. As forgiveness ability went up, individuals reported having fewer symptoms of depression, anxiety, and fatigue. They slept better. These results are powerful and suggest that all counselors, both secular and faith-based, should be paying attention to forgiveness. I want to make a suggestion right now. God's forgiveness can make a tremendous difference in your heart, in my heart, and in our lives. And we got to choose, don't we? God says, I want to comfort you today. I want to forgive you. I want to forgive you. I want you to leave this place and leave your burden here. Will we accept that? Oh, salvation belongs to God. That divine forgiveness, that power to take sin and alleviate its power, no one else can do that save God and the Lamb. Secondly, he says that he can provide shelter. We were reminded of those storms. Some of you lost power. Did you lose power? I counted this time. In 3 hours, I only hit the light switch 3 times. That's a record for me. That's pretty good. But weren't you glad to have a shelter in the storm? Weren't you glad when you heard tree limbs cracking and the power flickering? And I hope you were somewhere safe. Inside the shelter. In verse 15, he tells us that he shall be our shelter. Isn't that a wonderful image of God sheltering us? The great tribulation. At the end of time, we're all going to face that tribulation in some way or another, physical or mental or emotional or spiritual. And sometimes we face those kind of tribulations in our daily life all at the same time, don't we? The tabernacle is the image of God. You remember when the children of Israel were wandering out and how many times in Exodus God said, here's the deal, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. I'll be your God, you'll be my people. I'll shelter you, I'll be your king, I'll be your confidant, I'll be your forgiver. I'll be your friend. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll do everything. Just put your faith and trust in me. And systematically, Israel began to say, yes, but not all the time. Sort of. We need to have a king like everybody else got a king. You're a good God to worship, but there's some other gods to worship. It's good to follow you, but we got a little extra time now. We could do some other things with our time. And so systematically, Israel began to regulate that, I'll be your God and you'll be my people you be my God some of the time and I'll be your people some of the time. Does that sound like anybody you know? Sometimes that sounds like me. God, I want you to be everything and all the time, but right now I think I can handle this one, Lord. I want to be your shelter. In this image, where they're there, and they're there in His presence, and God has them now under His control, and He's washed them. And He says in verse 15, He sits on the throne, will shelter them with His presence. And there'll be no more hunger, no more thirst. The sun won't scorch them. Out in the desert, when they were wandering, at times they didn't know where their food was going to come from, and God sent quail and manna. At times they didn't know where their water was going to come from, and sometimes God made the rocks pour forth the water. Sometimes the sun was hot, and His presence would shelter them. God wants to shelter us. Where do you need to be sheltered? Would you allow your mind to go back to that place of sin, that need for divine forgiveness? Because there's nothing better. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than knowing your heart is right with God. To walk out of this place today knowing that you have been forgiven, knowing that you are now being sheltered by the very presence of God, leads to the last point this morning, one of satisfaction. Satisfaction is reached only because of God. I love verse 17. It says, "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." There'll be satisfaction there. Oh, the image of the great shepherd in Psalms 23 comes to mind here. God guiding us is the great satisfaction. Some people, we think we might be too busy for God's salvation and God's shelter. I love the story that Chuck Swindoll wrote in his book, Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life. He was talking about a 19th century agnostic by the name of Thomas Huxley. He was famous, especially during the Darwin era. Huxley was in Dublin on one occasion, and he was rushing to reach a train. And so he climbed into one of Dublin's famous horse-drawn taxis and said to the driver, "Hurry, I am almost late. Drive fast." And off they went at a furious pace. And Huxley sat back for a few moments and closed his eyes. After a while, Huxley opened his eyes and he glanced out the window and he noticed they were going in the wrong direction. They were going the wrong way. Realizing he hadn't told the driver where he needed to go, he hollered, "Do you know where you're going?" The driver replied, "No, sir, but I'm driving very, very fast." I wonder today if we would be honest with God to say, "I don't really know where I'm going, but I'm driving really, really fast. I'm going as fast as I can." If you've been to UNC, right outside the lobby of the children's ward, they've got this tremendous machine. Have you seen it? It's a great machine. It's a wonderful machine. It's a marvelous machine. It's an amazing machine. It has balls, and they ride down, and someplace there's a little monkey that bats it into a hole. It's just cool. And it runs on tracks, and it just runs and runs and runs. And it goes through mazes, and it goes through bumpers, and it drops through holes, and it's picked up and carried over and placed on another piece. And it's just busy all the time. You know the only problem with that machine? It does not do a cotton-picking thing. There's just no value at all in what it does. But it's amazing to watch it do it. Is our life like that? Are we busy? My goodness, if I don't think you're busy, you can show me your calendar. I bet you've got stuff every night this week. But does it bring us satisfaction? Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you a truth based on God's word and a life of living. The only satisfaction we're going to find in this life is a right relationship with our God. That's it. Seek, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these other things will be added unto you. But my goodness, how tempted am I to seek all these other things first. And then, as the old song when I was a kid, I ain't got no satisfaction comes to mind. We can be satisfied. We sometimes sing, I am satisfied with Jesus. You remember that song? It's a beautiful song. I like it. But I don't think it's right. Oh, I love the question. But the question comes to me when I think of Calvary, is my Savior satisfied with me? I love that part. But what I want to tell you is, I don't really think we're satisfied with God because I don't think we really, really, genuinely, truly understand. We don't really understand how much God wants to bless us. You think you're satisfied. I think I'm satisfied. I'm reminded of the story in John chapter 4, the woman at Samaria. You remember that lady that came? She had a checkered past. That's putting it nicely. She had been around, if you know what I'm saying. She was so bad that she went to the well in the heat of the day because she knew nobody would be there to jeer at her and make fun at her and call her names. And she met Jesus in the heat of the day. Maybe today somebody needs to meet Jesus in the heat of the day. Maybe today there's sin in our life that we need to meet Jesus. Maybe we know everybody knows it, but we need to meet Jesus. It's time to meet Jesus. Remember what Jesus asked her? Could you give me a drink of water? And boy, I think that John, when he wrote this, must have had that moment in his mind. And she said, how are you going to get any water? You don't have anything to drink out of. And he said, if you had known, if you had known who you were talking to, do we know who we're talking to today? Do we know who we're worshiping today? Do you realize that you have gathered here to come into the presence of the Almighty God? Jesus said, if you had known who you were talking to, you'd ask me for water. And she said, you don't need any way to get any water. He said, all that come to me, I'll give them what? Remember what he said? I'll give you living water, and you'll never thirst again. Oh, I love what he says here. They'll hunger no more, neither will they thirst any more. I will guide them like the shepherd to the living water, Jesus says, the Lamb says. Wouldn't it be great to drink one time and never be thirsty again? To be satisfied. Oh, we're not really satisfied. I love the story. And maybe this is as close as I can get to it. It's a story told about a little fellow from the 1800s. When he heard the circus was coming to town. Oh, it reminds me of myself sometimes. He had never seen a circus, so you can realize he wanted. And so he went, he said, Daddy, the circus is coming to town. But now this was in the 1800s. I think it cost about 40, 50 bucks to go to the circus now, doesn't it? Well, then it cost a dollar, but that was like 40 or 50 bucks back then. It cost a dollar, Dad. A dollar was hard to come by. Dad knew how bad he wanted to go, and so he said, son, if you'll do these extra chores, if you'll do this, I'll talk, we'll see what we can do. And sure enough, he did all the work his dad asked him to do, and the dad gave him that little dollar. The boy very rarely even went into the big city, but he made his way there, and there he was as he was watching. And that time, the circus would come in with a parade, you know, they'd get all the people. It was a grand event. It was a big event. I mean, it was major stuff. And so here they come. They come lining up, and here comes the lions in their cages, and all the acrobats are on the back of horse-drawn and mule-drawn flatbeds, and they're doing tricks. It's just an amazing event. And folks are standing all over the streets, and they're cheering, and they're just elated. The circus is coming to town, and the last ones will. Is that group, that little troop, they call them the troop of clowns that were coming, and the last one, and the little boy, he's just been amazed. He's been amazed at what he's been seeing. It's just, he's been overwhelmed. And when that last clown comes by, the little boy reaches over, hands him his dollar, and heads back to home. You see, he thought he'd seen it all. He thought he was satisfied with the parade. He missed the circus. He thought he had enough. And the best was yet to be. He hadn't seen nothing yet. Don't get satisfied too soon. God's got more in store. Isn't that comforting? Isn't it wonderful to know that no matter how bad we might, those little glimpses that we get to see of God's goodness, of God's love, of God's joy, of God's power. Oh, I love that list when they get caught up and they start over and over. They just start saying all those things because He's worthy of blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power. And on and on and on and on and on it goes. Because all I've got is a glimpse of how good God is and how wonderful He is and how much He loves me and how much He has in store. And if that glimpse is anything like what it's going to be like, whoo, that's going to be something. I can't wait for the circus. The parade's pretty awesome, isn't it? No, I'm not satisfied yet. God's got more. Because the Lamb can provide complete satisfaction when He guides me to living water. When I sit, Paul said it, I'll be known as I am known. I will know as God knows me. Oh, I ain't seen nothing yet. Forgive my English. The best is yet to be. But this is what I know. For living right now, I am satisfied with Jesus. My hope, my trust, all in all, is placed in His hands. And that's the best place. That's the best place to put it all. How many times have I stood beside or sat beside the saints of God when they drew their last breath? And I saw a peace that makes no sense in this world, but makes all the sense in the world when you're a person of faith, when you know the circus is yet to be. God has more. Today, I want us to understand that salvation is given by God, that He wants to shelter us in His arms, and satisfaction comes from a right walk with Him. Before I pray, let me bring you back to that divine forgiveness. We're about to leave. How shall we leave? Forgiven? Oh, God wants it. Will we be faithful to ask? He'll be faithful to forgive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in these moments we ask, O God, that You might speak to us now about what we need to do, about choices we need to make. Oh, maybe we're not near as bad as that Samaritan woman in John 4. But, O Lord, each of us are sinners. And each of us could leave in the freshness of Your forgiveness and the power of Your salvation. If there's one here today who doesn't know You and the pardon and forgiveness of their sins, then today could be the most powerful day of their life. Oh Lord, You know every heart, You know every need. May we be found faithful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 63, Abide With Me, page 63. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and challenging you to make some public decision, if you've never accepted Him as Lord and Savior, if you've never stepped forward and claimed His salvation for your life, then today is the day of salvation. If you need to rededicate your heart and life publicly because the Holy Spirit is challenging you to do that, it will make a difference in your life if you'll do that. But may each of us, before we leave this place, make sure we know that He is abiding with us, that we have received that divine forgiveness. that we might leave this place to be his people as we stand together and sing.
God, thank you that the Lamb was worthy to bring history to a conclusion, that the circus could start. Guide us that we might be people of hope, that we might bring as many as humanly possible into the saving knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus.